Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries with Evangelist Aaron and Shiloh Gervais. And tonight we're going to be having a candid discussion on Legally Blind. It's just called Legally Blind and Stuck in Religion. And we are going to be covering that. And tonight, so we're going to be starting just on what grace versus legalism. What is it and how do we fight the bondage that happens in legalism? A lot of people sometimes come to Christ in churches across the nation. And at first they get this feeling of freedom. They get this peace, this mercy, this grace that seems to flood their souls. They see the world different. God does come into their hearts and lives. And sometimes if they're in a church that is a legalist church, immediately things start getting forced upon them on how to live. And sometimes these things are not even biblical. And over a period of time, they will realize that they don't feel free anymore. Instead of feeling free and victorious, they feel like sometimes they're even in worse bondage than before they came to Christ. In more scrutiny, more just criticism of their lives. And a lot of times a person like this will not only fall out of the church, but also sometimes turn their back on God because they've gotten a skewed view of who God is, and they turn their back on him and actually can tell people they tried Jesus, but it didn't work for them, or it's just a bunch of rules. And so let's look at what grace is, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to point something out in these verses here. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now, I want to point something out here. You know, grace, of course, is unmerited favor, God giving us what we don't deserve, him and salvation, eternal life. Mercy is him not giving us what we do deserve. And, of course, truth is all about him. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Look at what it says. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind mercy and truth upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart, and you will find favor and a good standing with God and man." Notice it doesn't say, find the list of church rules. It doesn't say, find the constitution and bylaws and live by them, for then you'll find favor with God. It's mercy and truth. And what's the difference? Here's the difference. Rules are things man can live by that try to obtain favor with God. Mercy and truth is something that can only come from God. You see, when we talk about Christianity and a relationship with God, it all starts and it really goes throughout our whole life. Everything comes from God to us. Now, we're going to talk about living for God later, but salvation is everything coming from God to us. It is free. It's something that can only be done by him. And when we reverse those and say, well, salvation is actually what we do for God, then we're totally missing out on what salvation is, what Jesus Christ came to do, what he did on the cross, and what he continues to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so a little bit what grace is. Grace is beautiful. Grace gives victory. Grace gives freedom. Grace is what takes the bondage and sets them free. See, if you had a prisoner that was in jail, and if we had laws, now some countries have these laws where somebody else can decide to go to jail for you, and the law says somebody has to pay that crime, somebody. And some places you can actually go in, take the place of somebody else, and that person in jail can walk out free. Now, it's not freedom if they walk out of the jail and they get captured by somebody else and put them in another prison. And legalism sometimes does that. It frees them. They walk out free. And then something else tries to take them captive and put them right back into bondage. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight and sharing our personal experiences and how we experience that grace. Have we experienced legalism? and then what it means, what it does, and then how we get out of it, and how can we stay away from that. And so it's a very important thing to look at and to do. And so, you know, grace is beautiful. Grace comes from God. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace through faith. You know, in fact, that's a good passage to go to. I just want to read that because it really distinguishes what a relationship with God as opposed to trying to work for God. And so we're going to be looking at that one, Ephesians chapter 2, 9 through 10. It's a really awesome passage. It starts in verse 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's that grace that saves us. But a lot of people say, okay, well, that's all I have to do. Now, we're going to talk about a balance tonight between grace and living for God, because you can go too much legalism and say what you're doing that's going to win you God's favor. And you can do the swing a pet podium, and we're going to do that as well, where some people say, well, we live in so much grace that we don't have to live for God. And the Bible nowhere says that either. In fact, in verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so grace is what God's given us, the free gift. We don't have to work it up. We don't have to do anything. Simply put, religion is man's way of obeying rules to try to reach God. Grace is Christ's coming to die for us who don't deserve it, to bring us to God. Totally, totally different in that. And so we just praise God for that. The next thing we're looking at is what legalism in this. What is legalism? A good passage to look at what legalism is Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 20 through 22. Colossians 2, 20 through 22. Here, see here. It says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" And here, this is the verse 21 is the whole thing that they're saying. Taste not. Now, touch not, taste not, handle not. It's just rules. And if you obey those rules, you're going to find favor with God. In verse 22, he says, "Which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men." And therein lies the difference between of what legalism is and grace is. The rudiments and doctrines of men. It's mainly man-made rules are trying to get us favor with God. And sometimes in the church, these man-made rules are masqueraded as biblical rules. In fact, a little note on that is that we cannot reach up to God by following pious rules and rituals or by practicing religion. Paul isn't saying all rules are bad, but no keeping of laws or rules will earn salvation. The good news is that God reaches down to man and we respond. Man-made religions focus on human effort. Christianity focuses on Christ's work. Believers must put aside sinful desires, but doing so is the byproduct of our new life in Christ, not the cause of it. Our salvation does not depend on our own discipline and rule-keeping, but on the power of Christ's death and resurrection. And so when it talks about legalism, it is something that happens to people. And a moment ago, I talked about a balance, because we have to be careful that we don't go so far in grace that we forget that there is things that we are to do. We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. And there are some people who go to the other spectrum and believe that all you have to do is be saved, and you can live the way you want the rest of your life, and only have to do what you feel you have to do. And the Bible is clear about that as well. In Jude chapter 4, in that passage, It says, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. And in that passage, it's very specific. Jude is denouncing certain persons who taught the opposite way, who taught that salvation by grace allows professed believers to indulge in any serious sin and yet not be judged by God. They may have taught that God will freely forgive those who continually indulge in any sin that they want, and just trusting in God's grace that they're okay, they're covered. And that is not what Scripture is teaching. So there is a perfect balance. But what we're going to be concentrating on tonight is, how do you get away from the legalism? How do you recognize it in your life, the life of your church, and how do you get out of that? And so we're very in tune with what's going on there. And so it is very important that we look at what, once again, legalism is. And it probably could be, why are people legalists? And let me ask you that. Why do people fall into legalism? Why is it easy to fall into that? I think for many, it is we are so used to, in our society, not getting something for free. In fact, what's the old saying? If it's too good for it to be true, it probably is. Well, the salvation in Christ, for many, is just too good to be true. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to stretch. You don't have to reach or attain. All you have to do is receive. And for many, that's just too good to be true. And so, therefore, it cannot be true. And so some, to them, it's easier to obey rules instead of live in a relationship with God. It's easier. Why? Because measurable. It's measurable for people. You see, if I say living for God is living His commandments, living in His grace, His mercy, and His love, well, how do you see that? Well, the Bible gives examples. It's by the fruit of repentance. There's a changed life, a new creation. But once again, it comes out of a loving relationship with God. He saved you, and out of that love, you can be changed. But so for some, they want hard, in fact, measurable things, such as, well, you're more religious if you only wore certain clothes. You've attained it more if you only listen to certain music. You have attained it more if you don't have a TV in your home. You attained it more when your kids don't get to do anything, play with anybody, go anywhere. And a lot of times this legalism, once again, floods into the church, and it could get to the point that the person is totally left with nothing. And all they have now is rules, which gets to a deeper root of what legalism is. It is really a lack of love. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. But see, a legalist person can do everything in their own power to live as many of those rules as possible and still go to hell. It's not, living rules is not what's going to set a person in heaven. Because guess what? I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to bug a lot of Christians out there, but there are sinners out there, people who do not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that live better than some Christians. So just because they obey more rules, just because they live more morally, does that mean they're going to heaven? No. They still have to have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not of works, lest any man can boast. And so it goes back to, you live for God because He saved you. He loves you. And in that loving relationship is why we live for God. And so it's something that's very important. So we're going to be looking at some stuff. How do we you know, some examples. We said we're going to be kind of open and a little bit, you know, bold in this message, how we can become legalism. Well, and in our own examples, have you ever in your life, that's a good question, looked down at other people for something you've seen them fall at, not quite live the life, and then later on in life you find yourself in the same predicament? Why in the world would God allow that in your life? Why in the world would you judge somebody so hard in a legalism way, in a legalist way, and then a little bit later find yourself in the same predicament? Well, I think Sheila and I have talked about that before, and it's one of the ways that God can get you out of being in legalism. Because if you just read it, you're not going to come out of it. If you just read the commandments of God, that's not going to just get you out of it. It has to be a little bit more. It has to be in a position where you actually come out of that. But a lot of times he has to allow something to happen in your life to shock you to the point that you realize that you were in it. And it's so hard. And it's good that he does it. Because if he can do it and keep you in him, see, that's the goal of Jesus. I have seen many in my life who were extremely legalist. And when they came out of it, they didn't even stay with Jesus. They went total the opposite way and turned their backs on God. I remember a person one time where they were so stringent. I mean, my goodness, if you watched a Disney film, you were going to hell. You let your kids watch a Disney show, that's it. You're hell bound. You need to get saved all over again. If you and your wife was listening to some music, even in your own home, and you swayed to the music, you're going to hell. If you went to the theater and watched a show, you're going to hell. But it got so bad that if there was only one store in your town and they served alcohol, you couldn't shop there because you're going to go to hell because they're going to use some of that money to buy alcohol. And you can do that to the point that you're just sitting in your house, doing nothing, going nowhere, and being a hermit. And still, guess what? Not have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. So this is what we're talking about. How does that happen in our lives, and how do we get out of it? And so when we are in that place, and I'm gonna, you know, just let you know, as a minister, as an evangelist, you know, when I would see couples that got divorced, I would say, "Well, didn't both of you work on it? What happened? And you could have made it." You know, because we know the Bible says God hates divorce, but guess what? He doesn't hate the divorcee, and that's something we have to understand. And even in my life, you know, just circumstances happened, and I found myself being divorced. You know, and it's something that all of a sudden I start seeing through my eyes something I never saw before. I started having more compassion on a group of people I really didn't have too much compassion for. I started seeing people for what they were going through and realizing that, wait a minute, I don't have all the information. Now, I knew the Bible, but guess what? Life sometimes stinks, and life sometimes happens. And when you go through those circumstances, we have to peel sometimes, once again, the blinders of being legalist and seeing, okay, God, what happened? What did you do? Why did you allow it? How is it going to change my life? And once again, going back to, like I said, being super, super legalist, I have known some of these people who are, like I said, doing that and set by rules. And then when they moved away from it, they didn't move into the grace of God. They moved totally out of the presence of God. And some of them, it could be 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still out of the presence of God because they didn't understand the grace of God. And when you are living, like I said, a legalist way, and God allows things in life to happen, all of a sudden you start to live a little bit better. You start to see God's grace more. You start to see what God is doing. And that is one of the most important things in this. So in a moment, we're going to talk about how do we avoid falling into that. But, you know, I just want to dwell on that part that looking for the legalism in you. Are you a legalist in some way? Now, we're not saying it means that if you obey the Word of God, or if you talk about obeying the Word of God, you're a legalist. That's not what we're saying. We're saying to obtain God's favor, to stay in salvation, you and your power have to live by a list of rigid rules. Because if you don't, the hammer of God is going to fall. And that is not the grace of God. It is totally different. And so we're going to be looking at that in a moment, a little bit more. And so we're going to be moving on here about, how do you make sure that you don't keep yourself, you don't go into legalism, that you don't fall for it. And actually, it's a very subtle thing, and most people don't realize it in ourselves. And so how do you recognize it? How do you recognize you are being legalist? Here's one of the ways. Do you ever expect a sinner to live like a saint? I think a lot of people do. You hear it in rumor mills. You hear it when people talk about somebody in the town. They go, oh, did you hear about her? Now, if you're a good enough believer, you'll say, I don't want to hear it and walk away. But sometimes you hear things, especially if you ever look at Facebook. You hear things. And you're like, I can't believe they did that. Don't they know they disobey God? Don't they know that they shouldn't do that? How about family members? You know, they went out to the bars and they got drunk. Or somebody in a family got pregnant and they're not married. Well, guess what? First, I'm going to take it two groups. First group, unbelievers. Why do believers think that unbelievers should live like believers? Newsflash, sinners sin. Swimmers swim. Runners run. Walkers walk. Bowlers bowl. And the list goes on and on. If you're a person who is not regenerated by God, your life is riddled with sin, so you're going to sin. So as Christians, we shouldn't sit there and be thinking that an unregenerated person is going to live for God because, first of all, they don't have the power. God is not in them to regenerate them to do it. And so even if they wanted to, there's no way they can. And so there's nothing in them that would be able to obey the Word of God, even if they know it in their minds. In Romans, Paul talks about that. That which I want to do, I can't. That which I shouldn't, I don't. And because they can't. They cannot live that way. And so if you have ever, as a believer, looked at an unbeliever and think that they should be living for the Lord and His ways without being saved, well, that's being legalist. Because what happens if they did? What happens if they lived more than a believer like you? In your mind, are they automatically saved because they live better? No, they're not. And that is a little form of legalism. And the legalism also can be for the Christian against a Christian. You know, it's always said, the worst sins that you see is the sins that other people do. Most of the time, we don't talk about our own sin. We don't look at our own sin too bad. Because why? Well, because we're doing them. And so when we impose a righteousness on somebody else that we don't do, trying to make them follow a list of rules, once again, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, that is a form of legalism. And it's something that can tear somebody apart. And if we don't watch it in the church, it could drive a person away from the church for many years. For many years. And so we got to be very careful in how we live in the church and how we live in our personal lives and not appear legalist. And so, and at the same time, like I read in Jude, not appear as Christians who just wink at sin and think everything is great, especially in our own lives. We cannot change the grace of Christ, the grace of God, into a license to sin. We can't say just because we're covered, God just winks. He doesn't. And so we have to have that balance. But the question is, how do we avoid? How do we avoid and keep from falling into legalism? And that's found in James. We'll read that in a little moment. But you know, once again, I want you to understand what that legalism is. Look at it in yourself. Pray about it. God, am I a legalist? Here's another one. Do you have in your pocket a list of don'ts that the church has given to you? Can you take out of your wallet a card or a piece of paper out of your Bible bag that just says a list of don'ts? If that is something you may have, your church might be a legalist church. Because let me ask, does it have a list of dues? You see, the Christian life is about freedom. The Christian life is about victory. The Christian life is about capturing all that God and all His beauty and majesty has for us. And if you are living in a life that feels like bondage, when you go to church and it feels like bondage, and when you come from church it feels like you just got your head plowed over with a shovel, might not be the place where God wants you. Because He wants freedom. He wants victory. He wants power.
I think you have to examine why you're following the do's or the don'ts. Because if you're just doing it because that's what the church told you to do, then it's legalism. Or if you're just doing and following these do's and these don'ts because that's what your parents told you about God and about religion, then you're into legalism. Or are you following the do's and the don'ts, because there's balance in the Bible, because you love God? Because our love for God keeps us within those boundaries. They're not rules. It's guidance. It's boundaries set up because He loves us. So therefore, within the biblical context, when you read the Word of God, you're going to see the thou shall not, or the things that you can do, or suggestions. I mean, it's all laced within the Bible from the beginning to the end. The guidelines, the guidance for us, is this is the wise counsel coming from the Bible. But it's not set up because they are strict rules that you're going to follow without understanding why you're following them. If you are following something from your church that you have no clue why you're doing it, and even if you go to your pastor or other members and ask, why are we doing this, and no one can tell you biblical boundaries or biblical precepts for why you're doing it, you're in a legalistic environment. Everything that we do, the thou shalt not, or the things that we do, are because we love God. And we are found within that grace, within that protective measure that He has for us, His love for us. We don't do things because that's the way it's always been done here. Or we don't do things because that's our tradition, or this is symbolic of that, or this is just our ways of doing things. That is not acceptable. That is not love of God. That is what man has set up for you, to follow man, not following God. So I think that's an important concept to look at. Why are you doing what you were doing, or why are you not doing what you're not doing? Is it because someone told you that? Someone set that up for you? Or is it just doctrine? If your doctrine of your church does not line up with the Word of God and find balance within that, then you might be found in legalism. You have to remember why you are doing what you are doing in your life. It's always for the love of God, how He loves you, how He instructs you to love Him and others. And if I think we have to remember, hold fast to what you know to hold fast to, because it's found within the Word of God, and it's grace. Like John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came and fulfilled that. He fulfilled that. So we are living with grace and love. Remembering to be gracious, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to point that out because I think that's an important concept to think about, especially to the household of faith. Why are we as Christians so hard on one another? Why are we as Christians setting up these rules and these standards for one another? The word of God, we need to remember, is for us to examine ourselves with, like David said in the Psalms, search me, O Lord, find if there's any way within me. Right? It's not, God, search that brother over there. God, search that sister over there because look at them. And then we hold whatever it is against them. It's search ourselves, and then we live. That's when we go back to that Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God first, and then man. And I think it's important to point out that we bind it around our neck. It's something that we wear. It's what we adorn ourselves with. Towards the household of faith and to anyone that we meet in this life. It's mercy and truth. And it's an ornament that you wear around your neck. It's a treasure that you attach to this chain and you wear it around your neck. Honestly, when I think about truth and mercy, we women especially like our bling, right? It's our jewelry. And we adorn ourselves daily. We pick out our jewelry. What if we got up every day and adorned ourselves spiritually and picked it out really well and put it on and then walked out of the house? Mercy and truth, bind it around your neck. It makes me think of those old-time pendants or lockets. And when you open them up on the inside, there's this picture in there. It's usually a picture of someone that we love, right? Someone that is close to our heart. Someone that we admire. Someone that went before us or someone that is still with us. These are our family heirlooms. Listen, household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, mercy and truth is that family heirloom that we wear around our neck. And it continues with us. When we look at our hearts and we look at the picture that's inside that locket, if we're using that as an example, our hearts swell, our eyes get misty. Why? Because there's love and it's overwhelming love towards others. That's how we should carefully preserve the heirloom of mercy and truth as Christians. We wear it around our neck. We live it out. It's who we are. It's how we act. It's what we value. It's our adornment. It's our bling. It's the part that others can see how we as Christians live, how we treat others, how we love, how we give counsel, how we accept, how we forgive, how we live through our own dire circumstances. That's mercy and truth, and that's how you adorn it. You write it on the tablet of your heart. How is it even written on our heart? Has anybody ever thought about that? How is it written on our heart? It's written on our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. He writes it on our hearts. How does he do that? As we are living our life, trials and troubles, but we're living it with him, seeking his counsel, reading his word. Then we copy that that's been written on our hearts by living that with others. We keep that as our greatest honor and glory for his glory. So I think that brings us through legalism into grace.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Going right along with that, like I said, James chapter 4, verse 6, it talks about how do we keep from it? Why? And one of the things I've noticed in my life, when I'm running across somebody who's very legalist, is they seem to be might rub somebody wrong, but it seems that they're really full of pride. And that is something that can get us in, because remember, it seems that if we can just measure our spirituality by following the rules, we can let pride come into our lives. And that pride can actually hurt us, because it could bring into legalism. But the way God wants us to be is always to be humble. And this is one of the ways it's going to keep us from following in that legalist way. In James 4:6, it says, "But he," talking about God, "giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Now, and there's another passage that we got to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and it goes right along with this. In 1 Corinthians 10, 12, as Christians, we are supposed to know that we are saved. That's how the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. We can know that we know we're saved because of the grace and mercy that Christ has showed us, not because of what we do and what we've done. in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The reason the person standing is they think, well, I'm full. I got this. I'm living in the rules, and therefore I got favor with God. Remember what she was just mentioning. It's that mercy and truth that gets us favor with God, not following a rigid list of rules. And so it's always relying on God. And God, once again, gives grace to the humble. So he keeps them soft. He keeps them pliable because we are, once again, his workmanship. You see, I am glad God's not done with me. I'm glad that God has not got me to a place where he goes, "Hey, Aaron, you're the best of the best." I am so glad of not. In fact, I have told my kids more than once that they could be stronger and closer to God than I have ever been. And guess what? That's my prayer for really everybody even listening, is because we don't have a plateau. And we're going back to something we mentioned earlier, is, and what does God use to free us if we're in legalism? And a lot of times it's that grace lived out. God sometimes allows us to go through things to bring us back to God. And so we're going to be looking at. And what happens when we start to come out of that? Well, we're going to first live a lot less judgmental of ourselves than other people. And that is a key. You know, and one thing when Sheila was, just sharing, something that hit me is, Jesus even says how we should live for him. He says that we do it. It says in his rest, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. If you labor in heavy labor, give it to him. And if you're just trying to follow a list of rules and stuff, you're going to be heavy laden. And so what he's saying in Scripture is it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed, living for Christ is supposed to be like rest. Rest for our spirits, rest for our souls. And I'm going to just share real quick, and I think it's, let me see what it's.
That's because we're not trusting in our rules, but we're trusting in his word.
Exactly.
And then we can find the rest. If we're living by his set of rules, we are exhausting ourselves, constantly looking over our shoulders, constantly trying to make sure we're walking this way, saying this way, living like that. It's like we're like little robots walking around. You know, robots don't have feelings and compassion. They're not real people. Here's something you need to be a real person. You need to be real person. We don't need any more whitewashed tombs and the spirits. You know, in the world of Christians, we need people who are real, who are clean from the inside out, and then sharing that with others. By living by a list of rules is just going to be exhausting, and you will never qualify. You will never be good enough. You will never arrive because they're just rules. But you understand, but then by the grace, you're already qualified. You're going to make it, and you're going to be able to rest in that truth. There'll be less anxiety, worry, and self-concept because you get the concept of God.
Amen. That's good stuff. You know, and, you know, going along with that is, you know, how do we put together the grace of God, love of God, and obeying the word, his commands, the way God wants it, not the way man wants it, not the way man looks at it, because they want to work to attain God, but the way that God looks at it. I mean, a passage just came to my mind here just a few moments ago, and God was directing me to it. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and it's really going to bust a lot of people's notions, especially, and I'm going to be talking to you who might be listening who went to church, were in church, and now you're out because the commands of God got burdensome. And once again, she was saying, because you're living in your own ways, your own power, not in what the Holy Spirit has given. But listen to this passage, and listen how that mindset is different from God's. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." So whoever loves God the Father loves God the Son. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Now listen to this verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Jesus himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But once again, obeying that comes out of the power of the Holy Spirit, out of our love for God, not in our self-directed efforts. But listen to this last part he tags on, which blows this world's mind. For his commandments are not grievous. Another version says his commandments are not burdensome. It goes back to Jesus saying, if you live me, it's rest. It's easy. Well, if living for God is not easy the way Jesus said, then we're living it in legalism. If we're living for him and striving to obey him, and it seems like rest, it seems easy, it's not burdensome, then that means you're living in a relationship. Here's the key for you. Anytime as a Christian you start feeling it's burdensome, that is your key. That is your red light. That is your alarm showing you you're starting to slip into legalism. When it seems easy, and let me tell you how it gets easy. I'm going to tell you the secret. Stay close to Jesus, not by just living his commands, by reading his word, worship him, and talk with him. Talk with him every day. What's going to happen is you're going to so fall in love with God that living for him seems easier. Living for him is something you want to do because you love him, and that is important to know.
I think tagging on to what you just said, you do because you love him and it gets easier. I think it's like if you look at when two people first get married and they got to learn one another. You know, they're trying to serve one another and do things for one another, and at times they may get frustrated because they might misread one another. But they're doing it because they love one another. But the longer that they're together, the more they start to learn one another, and serving one another, they get a better understanding of it. It becomes easier and not as frustrating. Not that there won't be frustrating moments, but it's less frustrating because you're not trying to continuously read one another and learn one another. That's like your walk with Jesus Christ. At first, you're just trying to figure out how to love him, you know, and you're trying to figure out how he loves you, and you're trying to figure out how you can serve him and be pleasing to him. And at first, you're going to stumble on a few things, and it might get a little frustrating in your walk with Christ. It may seem hard because you're having to die to a lot of these things that you're, what you thought was love and serving, because when it comes to Jesus, it's not the same as what we think. We got to learn his ways, his love, mm-hmm. What he wants us to do. And the longer we're walking in that relationship with him and the closer we get to him and figure him out by reading his word and being in good Christian fellowship and going to church and praying, it gets easier. And we can rest in his love and understand who we are in him. All I could think of was a marriage to compare it to. Anyway.
Oh, that was some excellent stuff. Praise God for that. And once we do this, I'm going to close with this. Looks like three verses here. It's in 1 Corinthians, actually, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Because this is the way we should see ourselves and other believers. And this would show some victory. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, and of course this is for everybody, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all in that, in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And so that is an amazing thing. So we thank you tonight for listening on Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing to you, it change your life. Once again, share blogtalkradio.com/Abiding Love Worship Center with others. Let them hear messages that will inspire them, get them closer to God. Remember, when you're living in Christ, you're living in abiding love. Now go be the child of God that you are.